Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in on the Still Just Fishing Show. We got Captain Chip Wingo here and Ted Hartman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, y'all. And pleasure to see y'all again.
After such a kind of a
weird, different week, you know. Fish biting one day, they don't bite good the next. The wind blowing.
Cold. I walked outside.
Oh, man.
I walked outside. I was like, I had shorts on. I was like, I'm going to wear shorts on my charter today. I walked outside. I was like, yeah, that was brilliant. And I walked right back in the house. I was like, wow.
I don't know about you, but I love it. I love that cold weather.
I like it.
Woo, love it.
To a certain degree, but I wasn't ready for it.
When you're
out in a warm house, just out of the shower, you're like.
Well, and when you're out in it all day, you know, you can't get out of it. That's the worst thing.
Well, I kind of thought it was kind of over anyway. I thought we weren't going to see no more weather
that. But yeah.
Then it just out of the blue.
Well, you know, a few weeks ago they said on TV that was the last. I think it was like 48 degrees one day, and that was the last we're supposed to have of that. Yeah. And then when I went out there, you know, it's like 80 degrees on Wednesday. I got there Thursday, never took my jacket off till I got back to the boat ramp.
Oh, man. Well, with the wind, a lot of times, you know, just it's cool.
Yeah.
And I like wearing a jacket, you know, when it's blowing and it's cool, because we wear these wicking shirts all the time, and wind just goes right through.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But did you happen to see the launch yesterday morning?
What do you mean the launch?
The SpaceX.
No.
It was unreal.
I heard it was going up, but I didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
I was on the way to Palm Cove Marina, taking a client out on his boat, and I popped out to the beach real quick and watched it because I had plenty of time. And it was incredible. You could see all the separation. You could see everything.
Yeah, it was some pretty neat.
I still like watching that stuff. I mean, ever since I was a kid watching you know, everything go off from Canaveral and the shuttles and everything else. You know, I think one of the coolest ones, we were flying back from Palm Beach one evening, and we were in my old boss's King Air, and we're flying. All of a sudden, the pilot's like, look out the right window. And we saw the actual launch. You could see it on the ground. And they go, oh, why are we so close? Because that's where they put us.
Yeah.
They redirect traffic, you know, air traffic. But, I mean, it lit up. It was unbelievable seeing it from up there.
I bet.
It was almost intimidating because you're like, is that thing coming this way? His son's like, is it going to hit us?
And it's so weird when you watch it, you know, go up, because, I mean, thing goes up and then all of a sudden it looks like it, you know, with the earth moving, it looks like it's curving, you know, big time.
Yeah.
Brian Defect, you know, with Pure Fishing, he's got a great photo on his Facebook page. If you get to see it, it's one of those, I guess you call it, slow, exposure or whatever it is, but it shows it, you know, from here all the way at the curve and way over there, you know, the way the camera
slow motion.
Well, it was just a video. I mean, just a photo though, not a video. It's, time-lapse exposure or whatever they have. I don't even know what it's called, but shows the whole thing and in one photo. It's not even a video. It's pretty
neat,
awesome. Man.
That's awesome. I'll tell you one of the coolest pictures I saw, and I think Bordy still has it. David has it. It's either David or his client, and I can't remember because it's been so long. They're fishing down in Mosquito Lagoon, and the shuttle's going off, and they're holding a fish with the shuttle behind them going off, which was really cool. That guy.
Man.
That was many moons ago. But
we were leaving a boat ramp one day in Sisters Creek, and you know where you up just out of the manatee zone and turn left, like going toward Clapboard. And one of the guys that was talking to me, of course I'm driving, you know, going west, and he said, "What is that?" I turned and looked, and it was a launch. It was, you know, going up, and it was pretty neat, you know, because I slowed down and let everybody watch it, you know, a few minutes. But it was clear sky, you could see it so good, you know.
I have some clients that come into town from Kansas City. I've been taking for years and years, and we all, you know, it was the three generations, the granddad, the dad, and the son. And they were all, you know, we fished, did a lot, you know, we bull redfish, did so many different things. We tarpon fished, and they're like, we want to do something different. I was like, all right, I got it for you. So I took them down to Mosquito Lagoon, and we fished, and it was hot. I mean, it was super hot that day. And we got on a good bite of tail and fish, and we got some oversized fish. Anyway, they're like, we want to go ahead and cut the charter. And I'm like, hey, no. You got to see this school of redfish that comes up, and it comes up at this time every day. And they're just looking at me like, you're out of your mind. It's hot. So I ran all the way to the to find a place, a little fish camp, to find some water and more stuff for them. And so I take them all the way to the no motor zone on the southern end of the lagoon. And all of a sudden, these boats start pulling up, and these guys are like, what are they doing? I said, they're here to watch these redfish go off.
Yeah.
You know, they just come up, and it's insane. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah, I could get your cameras ready. You know, and I'm watching my phone, and it's showing you the countdown. I'm like, ready, keep watching right there. And all of a sudden, you know, you see that the plumes of smoke, and you see the shuttle launching, and they were just, you know, they'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
They were blown away. It was so funny. They're like, you said redfish, but when it was taking off, you could feel it.
Oh, you know,
and it's like mullet are jumping like crazy, and it was really cool experience.
Wow.
You know, but they just looked at me like, you pulled that off all day, making us wait out here, and it was worth it. But I mean, we were like French pieces of French toast out there, just fried from the day. The problem down there in the lagoon, when it gets hot, and I mean, there's no wind. You know, it's one of those days. It's bluebird sky.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just like,
You know, it's so weird. I've lived here all my life. You know, grew up here. You know, but have never fished there.
Me,
I mean, really? It's not that far away. You know,
it's incredible.
I mean, I fished in the Keys, but you know, fish on the West Coast, but I've never fished there. Lake Okeechobee is another place I never fished. I mean, we caught enough speckled perch, you know, through Dead Lake, Crescent Lake, you know, Loch Lusa, places like that, that we never went all the way down there. You know,
well, have you ever seen the way they fish for them in Okeechobee?
No,
they've got these long rods that kind of look like fly rods. And you take your jig and you pull the line and you pull the jig all the way up to the tip of the rod. And the rods were long. You stick it down in the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
And then you let go of the line. You pull the rod up and jig it a little bit.
Hmm.
If you don't get a hit, you stick the rod down, pull the line up to the tip, stick it in another thing of weeds and drop it down.
I guess to keep it from getting hung up.
But it's unbelievable. I mean, the fish down there are incredible.
Wow.
You know. But that's still, you know, that's a long ways to go.
It is. My dad used to love to speckled perch fish, but we'd stay down there on Dead Lake on the opposite end from Crescent. There was a Flagler fish camp, and I don't know if it's still there or not, but we would camp there and then fish, you know, Dead Lake and Crescent Lake. But my dad, you know, we had that old 60-horse four-cylinder motor, and he had no trolling motor.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd pull up to the lily pads, and he'd get the motor in the boat going, turn it off, and you just kind of coast up in there, you know, and give it about 20 minutes, we'd start catching them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I love speck fishing.
Yeah, I talked to a fellow yesterday. He said that they're biting at Dead Lake.
Mm-hmm.
He said they're full of roe, so they're getting up in the lily pads and starting to lay them eggs. So they'll be in the shallow water right along the lily pads and stuff.
Did you ever use the little grass shrimp for bait?
No, we always use Missouri minnows.
Missouri minnows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those little teeny shrimp are like that. You talk about people complaining about how big our shrimp here are sometimes. I'm like, you know, I need a magnifying glass to hook it up.
Yeah, really.
We always just use jigs, you know, and those little like two mini tube jigs, and they worked out really well. So,
when I did a show with Jim Hammond at Benville Plantation, we used those, and they worked great. You know, then we also used little spinners.
Yeah.
You know,
little road runners and stuff like that.
My dad would buy these little things called Panther Martins. He'd get them in Virginia when we go up there and visit our cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd get them up there. He couldn't find them down here. Now, I don't know if you can or not now, but, you know, but they're called Panther Martin. They're a little spinner bait, inline spinner bait. And man, we'd catch bass and, you know, speckled perch, just about everything on those things.
Yeah, pumpkin seed color. And I'd troll out there at Loch Lusa, load them up.
I still like going to Loch Lusa.
Yeah.
I hadn't been there in so long.
Yeah, it's got great little cabins. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, give us a call if you like, 222-8255. I know if you're going to go out there and fish. We got some wind coming in today, so we'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Benelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back, and I was talking about the wind coming in. About 10 o'clock, we're going to start having a small craft advisory. Today, south winds 15 to 20 knots, increasing 20 to 25 knots in the afternoon. Seas 2 to 4 feet this morning and going to 4 to 6 feet later on. And a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, but most of it, from what I see, is going to be in the evening. And then it's supposed to rain kind of throughout the night until in the morning. Tomorrow, west winds 10 to 15 knots, becoming north 10 knots in the afternoon. Seas 3 to 5 feet, and it should be calming down. And then Monday's turning back northeast winds again, 10 to 15 knots. Tuesday, east winds 10 to 15 knots. So, anyway, of course, I always say the best time to get out there is whenever you can. It's supposed to rain through the night, in, you know, off and on into the morning, but you still get your boat hooked up and get ready to pull out there and go get them tomorrow morning, you know, after that front passes through. Hopefully the Brommer would pop back mm-hmm. up and, you know, get nice and sunny again. And then if that Brommer starts rising again, maybe there's fish to turn on. So if you can get out there and get them then, that'd be good. Just be careful out there today, because I tell you what, that wind, and this week it was really blowing. It was, you know, we got out there Wednesday morning. It was pretty calm, slick water, and it was amazing because it wasn't probably a couple hours. It was blowing like 15 knots, and then it just got stronger. But it didn't seem to matter with the fish, and I guess maybe, I don't know, before the front. You know, people always talking about the fish bite before front and after front, you know. Maybe it was before the front because the fish bit really good for us Wednesday.
Well, it was blowing that day you were talking about. It was blowing then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then just the other day, it was blowing and nothing.
Yeah. Thursday, it blew throughout the night. So Thursday morning, the TV weather people was talking about, you know, calming down around 8, 9, 10 o'clock, you know. But what we saw was it increased about 9 or 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, it got.
I don't ever trust the wind forecast.
I know, you know. And I don't
it's going to be light and variable. And yeah. It's variable, all right. Up and down really hard, but
yeah. And yeah. we had white caps in Little Creek.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just crazy. I mean, I tried to get us up and out of the wind, and I mean, there's places we got out of the wind, but you didn't get a bite.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I told the guys, I said, look, we're going to catch fish. We're just going to have to get in it. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Thursday, I had, you know, the guys came up from Keystone, and they were, you know, not one of them is not really dressed for it at all. You know, he was like, man, I'm going to have to borrow your jacket.
Yeah, right.
He came with a windbreaker. And I didn't notice the first couple of hours, you know, I could see the end of the rod shaking. And, you know, so I looked down. And I said, oh, my gosh, you don't have no socks on. He had a pair of Crocs on with no socks. And I said, man, you want a couple of these rags right there on your feet, stick back to Crocs?
Yeah, right.
He goes, no, I'll be all right.
You can always dress down.
Yeah.
You can't dress up if you don't have it.
You know.
My Uncle Doy used to say, it's white capping in the minnow bucket.
Well, I tell you what, the worst place to be. Worst place to be in the intercoastal is south of Pine Island with a north wind honking and an incoming tide. Mm. And I mean, it's like running the jetties when it's rough. It's insane.
Yeah.
You know, and it never blows that way. It never blows that hard in that tide unless I have to run from Palm Valley to Volano to pick somebody up. Mm. And it's always on the way back for me. So I get back and I'm tightening my teeth up. And, you know, it's like it'll beat the snot out of you coming back.
And like you say, if it's blowing straight out of the north, right down the channel, I mean, right down the ditch right there, and then you got the incoming tide coming from St. Augustine.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I know even Clapboard the other day, when the tide changed, man, it got so rough, you know.
That little section from the, you know, the Dames Point to the closer to Little Jetties, when that wind starts honking.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you can try to tuck up against the trees,
yeah.
But then it doesn't ever seem to matter because it's like every angle you take, you're getting pounded, you know. And I've been in nice-sized bay boats and still just gotten hammered.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like,
Yeah, it's tough when you get in there like that in those places. One of the worst things when you have, you know, when I used to kind of come up from like Mill Cove and the wind's howling, and you'd come up, you know, the south bank of the river, trying to stay up close, you know, like you're talking about close to the bank. And then you get up there right past, you know, the Fort Caroline Bluff.
Uh-huh.
You got to cross the river
to
get to the boat ramp. And I mean, it would be like 6-7 foot in there sometimes. Just like, wow, you know.
Well, yeah. My Uncle Doy, he used to like going out in the wind because he was a speck fisherman. He loved the fresh water. And that wind was your friend.
Mm.
It would just bounce your little bobber there and your little minnow was sitting there doing this. Mm-hmm. And you could cover some ground. I mean, that thing would blow you to the other side of the lake before you knew it. And then you can turn, crank back up, head to the others, just move over a little bit and let it blow you down the other side.
Yeah.
And, it doesn't work that way in the intercoastal.
No. I love it.
When you're bass fishing, it's not bad. If it's when it starts blowing that hard, you use a big spinner bait or something that's heavy that you can throw in, or a jig. But, I mean, we fished a lake a couple of weeks ago on a bass charter, and it started blowing. There was just nowhere to go.
Mm.
You know, and then we pull up into a little creek, you know, and I'm like, all right, we'll go in here. And it's low hanging trees and looks real fishy. And the guy's like, the two guys are talking about snakes, how deathly afraid they are of them. And the guy's like, yeah, watch, one will fall out of the tree.
Yeah.
And I look over and I'm like, you mean like that one right there? And he looks down on the, you know, on the deck of the boat, and it was a little, looked like a little green snake or garter snake on the deck.
They do.
He's like, what? You know, I just reached down and grab it and fish it off the boat. And it was so funny. He's yeah. like, yeah, I've never seen an alligator either. And I'm like, well, there's one right there, you know. You know, and he's like,
yeah, there is some in those lakes.
Yeah, I said, why don't you say you've never seen a 10-pound bass?
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and then that'll appear for us. But, you know, it's...
Them cottonmouths will get up in them trees.
Yeah, I don't like... Yeah.
Fall right in the boat with you.
It's an aggressive snake, too. That's one snake that will come towards you, you know.
Sure, well, I've been chased by one.
Yeah, I'm not a real big fan of them. So.
No, me either.
But, so... Yeah. How many days did you fish this week? Couple days?
Just a couple of days because of doctor's appointments and stuff. They're going to replace my lenses in these. I know these are new glasses, but, you know, they're going to replace the lens in them. Because
are they?
Yeah, so that'll be good. So had to go back and get eyes checked again and all that stuff. And I've only had these glasses like 3 weeks or whatever, but they said, you know, my eyes must have relaxed or something because what, you know. Anyway, they're going to replace the lenses in it, and so, you know, hopefully I'm going to get back to normal pretty soon.
He's Abby. Abby normal.
Yeah.
That's what I always say. Yeah, I'm Abby. Abby normal.
Yeah.
It was interesting out there. I was telling you guys earlier, watching the bull reds feed on the surface on shrimp that's the first time I've ever seen them on the surface in the intercoastal. Mm. You know, I've seen regular size reds, but these were big 40-plus-inch reds.
Wow.
And it was, you know, because the jacks and the blues and the ladyfish and everything else are pushing the bait up. You know, we're catching those and having fun with those. And I look over and I'm like, that's not a ladyfish. You know, I mean, there were so many of them on the surface. And, you know, being able to, you know, cast over and get hooked up was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've seen... big reds, bull reds like that coming by is at the jetties at the surface, which you think they'd be staying down there on the bottom coming out. And you can throw whatever you want to at them. They won't touch it.
They won't touch it.
Yeah. But now you can give them, you know, or kind of follow them because you can see them pretty good. You can kind of follow them around and go down on the beach, you know, once they get around the pogey pods, then you can catch them.
But yeah.
For some reason, I don't know why, that they won't bite anything coming out like that. Now, yeah. I've never seen them up the river. I know people have said they've seen them up the river. The only place I've ever seen them is at the jetties, and I haven't seen them that many times, just two or three times in my lifetime. So
yeah. You know, David Borges and I were talking about something the other day, and he brought it up, and I started thinking about it, and the more I thought about it, I agreed. We're catching so many fish that are oversized.
Yeah.
They're just oversized. When I fished the Builders Tournament a couple of weeks ago, we had 9 fish in a row that were from 28 to 30 inches. And it took us a while to catch 3 legal reds. But it was amazing to watch these big oversized fish because it's like an everyday occurrence, you know, that you catch tons of fish that are over and not as many that are legal. Which kind of makes sense with, you know, fish being harvested and everything, but it's like they're either just under 18 or they're just over or 3 inches over, you know, but there's so many cool things showing up. Have you talked to Leon this week?
No, I haven't.
So they're fishing this past yesterday. I think it was yesterday. And he had the day before they broke a fish off on a popping cork. And yesterday they were fishing, and he went by that spot, and he had a little girl on the boat, and all of a sudden they're sitting there, and the cork goes, pops up and starts swimming. And she casts over and hooks the cork and reels in the fish, and it was a really nice fish, too. I was laughing. I was like, because that happened to us in the Intercoastal where somebody did that, and you could follow the small school of fish around through the creek and up into the grass, and you'd see it going up and down the grass, and all of a sudden it'd just disappear and go up in the grass. You know, for 3 days until we finally caught that fish and pulled it out.
I'll tell you a story about that when we come back. Took my son fishing. Something similar happened.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's you never know what you're going to see.
Nah, I know it. We caught one out there one time like that, and we're sitting there. I'm looking for a school of fish on this huge mud flat. I look over and see that float moving. I said, look, there's a fish on that. And they're like, how can you tell? I said, well, current's going that way. The float's going that way.
Yeah.
So something's up, you know.
And it's twitching.
We'll talk about that to you later. We'll be back.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. U.S. health officials have lifted an 11-day pause on Johnson & Johnson vaccinations. That follows a recommendation by an expert panel. Advisors to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said on Friday the benefits of the single-dose COVID-19 shot outweigh the rare risk of blood clots. The CDC and Food and Drug Administration decided that J&J's vaccine is critical to help fight the pandemic. A Minnesota court has set a June sentencing date for Derek Chauvin, who was convicted of murder and manslaughter in the death of George Floyd. Online court records say Chauvin will be sentenced on June 16th at 1:30 p.m. by Judge Peter Cahill. That's a Hennepin County judge who oversaw the trial. The 45-year-old Chauvin was convicted this week of second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. This is SRN News.
Hi, I'm Chef Matthew Madure.
And I'm Chef David Madure.
We are the founders of Madure Brothers Culinary Concepts.
And creators of M-Shack, your favorite local burger place.
When we decided to branch from fine dining to open M-Shack, we knew we wanted to build a much better burger.
Hey, Matt, can you build a better burger with just toppings?
Nah.
Better condiments?
I don't think so.
A better bun?
It's like I said from the beginning, Dave, you gotta grind your own meat.
You didn't say that in the beginning.
I did say that from the beginning, we had to grind our own meat.
Well, I agree. But what kind of top quality meat are you talking about?
Chuck and brisket, bro. What else is there?
Ha, I can't argue with that one.
And Dave, that's how you build a better burger.
M-Shack Burgers, Shakes, and More. It takes family to build a better burger. Let the M-Shack brothers build your family a better burger. Stop in for happy hour between 3 and 5 for $3 burgers, shakes, and more. Visit mshackburgers.com and order online. M-Shack Burgers. Let our family build your family a better burger.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, president of Conservative Theological University, invites you to expand your biblical knowledge and earn your certified AA through PhD degree with CTU. If you're considering ministry or if you're already serving in ministry, you should consider completing your studies with CTU, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, in the Mandarin community. Call 1-800-GO Bible for your interview appointment today.
Make someone's day with a little help from Hewn Flowers. Fresh flowers have a way of adding that extra bit of beauty to your home. They're also a great way to brighten someone's day. And what better way is there to show someone just how much you care than with a fresh bouquet of flowers? One thing's for sure, when you order flowers from Hewn Flowers, they're the brightest, most colorful, professionally arranged, long-lasting floral arrangements available. Call Hewn Flowers today, 398-8601. That's 398-8601. Or you can shop online anytime at hewnflowers.com. Hewn Flowers, making memories since 1946.
Tune in every Wednesday afternoon at 5 for Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles.
We're looking at lots more homes coming up, lots more restaurants.
Anita has all the latest news on Northeast Florida hot properties and everything you need to know relating to your most important investment.
The whole idea is to sell your house. We know what the market is.
It's Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles every Wednesday afternoon at 5 on AM 600 and 101.1 FM Talk Radio WBOB.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Today and tonight, expect windy conditions with rain heavy at times, 87 the daytime high, dropping to 67 overnight. A mix of sun and clouds on Sunday in the mid-80s, clear Sunday night, a low of 63. The last work week of April, Monday through Friday, sunny days, topping out at 82, partly cloudy nights in the mid-60s.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain
Out there.
Vic Tyson.
And we're back.
Very little.
What's that?
So I was looking to see what light. It got a little bright earlier yesterday, it looked like.
Yeah, it's starting to a little bit. I'll open up blinds while Ted tells us about the little story you're telling about.
Oh, yeah. We were up in the intercoastal back your way mm-hmm. where that bridge comes over that creek, and then you come back around and there's a boat ramp underneath the overpass. But I think it's 210.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we were sitting there along the grass bed, just floating, float down the side, and my son sets the rod down. I said, "Don't set that rod mm-hmm. down." I had no more get that out of my mouth. Out yeah. the boat it went.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, "Okay, I told you not to set." And then we just sat there for a few minutes, and the cork pops up.
Yeah.
It pops up about 25 yards down. So I go over there, and I toss a little treble hook out there and hook the line, reeled up the line. He handed it to him. He took and pulled the line up, pulled the pole out of the water because it was gone, and finished reeling in a 26-inch trout.
Oh, that's awesome.
26-inch. That was nice.
Yeah, yeah, you tell clients so many times, there's a rod holder on the boat for a reason.
I got rod holders everywhere, from the front to the back. Don't lay it down.
I mean, that thing went
you
out.
You can sit there for an hour and not get a bite. Yeah. If you lay that rod down, you're going to get a bite.
It's gone.
You know, it's just unbelievable. And I've seen people take and put it like, you know, 3/4 of the rod in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine used to do this when I'd go fishing in his boat all the time. He'd put that rod down there, and, you know, he'd only have about a third of it sticking up over the edge of the boat. He liked to fish with two rods. And I said, "Man, aren't you worried about that thing flying out of here and on?" He goes, "Nice, I got enough rod in the boat." But this fish hit it. We were bottom fishing in the river. But this fish hit it, and I saw that tip going down. I said, "He's on there." That tip went down, and the back end of that rod flew up about 20, 25 feet up in the air. The back end of where the reel was at went way up. I mean, it was just like a, I don't know what you'd call it. I mean, that thing bent down and just flipped right out of the boat and landed about 25 feet from the boat, you know, in the water.
You mean like that?
Yeah. Well, you ain't fast enough to grab that.
That thing, that tip, it just went shoom and just boom. I mean, so fast, it was unreal.
I mm-hmm. like it when I have a client that I keep asking to, you know, put the rod back in the holder when you're not using it, no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, don't lay it on the deck. Somebody will step mm-hmm. on it or whatever.
Yep.
After about the third time, I go, "Hey, can I go ahead and hold your MasterCard, Visa, or American Express?" And they're like, "For what?" I go, "For the rod."
Yeah.
You know, it happened to me.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Happened to me when I was first started guiding, that we were throwing popping corks or a cork. And, I kept telling a kid not to do it. And I turn around and watch it going, you know, out of the boat. And, you know, I sat there and pulled everything out of my pockets and everything and dove in the water. And the guy's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm going to get that rod." You know, we were on a flat, and it was only like 3 foot deep. But, you know, finally I'm cruising around, and I see the cork pop up over there and pop up over there. And finally I brushed the line and got the line and swam it back. You know, the guy's like, "I can't believe you did that." I was like, "Well, it's either that or, you know, it's going to cost you for a rod and reel, you know." And he's like, "You would charge me?" I'm like, "If I ask you 4 or 5 times, possibly, yeah."
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Have you ever lost one trying to cast?
Oh, yeah.
I did. The same rod.
I think you might want to retire that rod.
No, really.
Chris and I were over there at that drum hole that, you know, you told us about. And we were over there, and I went to cast that thing, and it went right out of my hand. So I got I think it was a jig head and not a treble hook. Threw it out there one time, hooked the line, and brought the pole back.
I think I would retire. That poor reel's go out figure. There going.
Go figure.
Yeah.
That thing earned its time to retire, huh?
It was the same rod and reel. It was funny.
Yeah, I had, you know, the new reels I'm using, I had one of them go not fully submerged, sunk to the bottom, but it went overboard, and it was caught, you know, by the hand. The whole reel went in the water and everything else, and luckily it didn't do anything to it. But it's just, you see it happen, and you're like, "Oh, my God." These are those jigs I was telling you that Chesapeake Mike gets up north. These will work great on Spanish.
Penfield.
Yeah. The kid hand wraps them. I guess they use them for stripers up there.
Yeah, they would. they would work, and they're heavy enough you can cast.
Yeah, and you could probably just troll with them the way they're set up and probably pull them.
Probably a half ounce, is that what it is?
I think so. That's pretty, it's got some weight to it, that's for yeah. sure. You know me, I'd be putting fish bites on it. I put fish bites on my ice cream.
Well, you know, you could do that, put you about a 2-inch piece on that thing to dangle out past the skirt, too.
Yeah, a little like a trailer.
Yeah. Well, yep. I mean, just where it hangs out past the skirt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, I see you've got them in different colors, too.
Yeah, Mike ordered them and wanted me to try them out. I'm like, of course I'll try them out. I love throwing different stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just to see, I'll sit there while the clients are fishing and throw something different.
Well, you know, you and I have talked weeks ago about how we used to fish with different things years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that works.
Yeah.
That we haven't fished with.
We haven't fished with in years.
For years, you know. And it's stuff you just forget about. You know what I mean? I've got gold spoons on my boat that I absolutely love. Those Gator Lou Incorporated gold spoons. I love those things. And what gets me is, you know, I never use them, never pull them out. I mean, whenever I've pulled them out to try to get people to throw them up in the grass like that, they're not like a regular jig head throwing, you know, because they're not real heavy. And so, you know, you kind of have to get close, and every once in a while one of them will make it way up in the thick part of the grass, stuff like that. But, you know, the Johnson spoons.
Mm-hmm.
Those used to be good. Now, you got to be careful where you throw those because they got a treble hook on them.
Yeah.
Or you can change the hook out, one or the other. But that Gator Lure Incorporated spoon has a hook that's fastened to the spoon itself. But it's got a cutout that kind of holds the grub that comes on it. And I like the root beer color and the chartreuse color with the little specks in it. But anyway, you put the, you know, the grub goes on there, and then it's got a little cutout in the spoon that kind of grips it and holds it on there. But those are great, great spoons. I really like them.
I remember we used to be able to buy them for like $1.99, and you put a split ring and a swivel on it so that it didn't spin up your line.
Right.
And you could go down the bank and catch redfish after redfish and catch flounder,
trout,
everything on them. And you, no matter what the wind was doing, you could cast them, you know. Clients could cast them, and I, you know, just get them in a slow cadence of rolling it along, and it's like, nope, haven't had one on the boat in 5 years, 6 years, you know.
I like throwing them up in the flooded grass and kind of, like, just pick it up and let it wobble back down in the grass, you know, and when you find those sparse grass areas, man, them reds love it, you know.
Yeah, when we get the super high, you know, we get the big, the slurping tides when they get way over the top where you won't see tails much. That's when I start throwing the frog. That's so much fun. But the spoon,
I'd like to see you throw that frog.
It's insane. I showed you the frog I throw. It's just a soft-bodied Academy Sports frog.
Little paddle tails?
No, it has the little fringy rubber pieces that hang for the legs. But
like a grub?
They're like long pieces, like rubber bands coming off for legs on either side. And it floats, but it fills up with water every once in a while. You just squeeze it and push the water out. But if you go into the floods and when it gets super high, if you just start going up the creeks, the little creeks in there real slow, you'll see the redfish. We call them shark, and they actually come up with their back out of the water, and they'll just cruise along and start sucking on crabs off the grass or whatever. But if you throw that frog up in front of them and just twitch it twice and then don't move it, just let it kind of go with the current. All of a sudden, they look like a carp. They just come up and suck it right in. And the hardest part with that is you got to let them eat it.
You want to stop the urge.
Yeah, because they're going to grab it, and the hooks are on the top of the bait, and you got to give them time to grab it and turn with it and go away. I've snatched a frog out of so many mouths. You know, you're that jerk knee reaction where you just set the hook.
Knee jerk.
You got to stop that urge to set it.
Give us a call, 222-8255. Love to hear from you. If you're heading out there today, I'd like to find out if you're going out there and what you're going to target. But there again, need to go early if you're going to go. If you're sitting around listening to us, need to hook that boat up and get out there before this wind really gets too bad. And anyway, we'll be back after this.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. I wonder if Chris has had his depth finder out there yet. I wonder if it's, well, I don't even know if he's got it installed
yet. I don't think it's installed yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Really?
Because I know he's got it, so.
Is that about, is that Simrad?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one I have. Like, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I've started playing with the side scan and the down imaging.
Mm-hmm.
And the down imaging I like the best because it, you know, I, when you look at the screen and it's white and has red, green, blue, little flicks, you know, the here and there, it doesn't really show you much. But when you look at it with the down imaging, and I like the blue or the orangish colored screens, it just starts, it grows the bottom. So all of a sudden you see it and you can look at fish and almost tell exactly what they are. Now, the side scan, you can tell what they are a lot of times. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll see a tarpon, it looks like a tarpon. You know, you'll see, it's weird with the side scan, you got to get used to reading it the way it comes up on the screen. But he'll love that unit, especially if he buys the chip. The chip for the Florida Marine Tracks.
Yeah.
Because it gives you everywhere at low tide satellite pictures. Mm. So, like, if we pull into areas like Clapboard where you and I like to fish in some of those spots where mm-hmm. you can pull up at high tide and go, oh, there's the oyster bar, you know, where you wouldn't know exactly where it is.
Right.
It's right there. And you can literally spot lock off of it and throw up to it and cast at high water. You know, Mike Conley turned me on to that. And I started, I'm like, oh, my God, this is awesome. Because it, you know how it is. Oh, with the trolling motor, oh, there it is. Yeah. You know, now you've blown the oyster bar mm-hmm. out, but.
Even with the remote controls, when I'm getting close to oyster beds and know where they're at,
mm-hmm.
it, you know, I like to get on the bow of the boat, even though it's a remote control, but I like getting on the bow and mm-hmm. looking down in that water.
Yeah.
I went through so many props, you know what I mean? And ever since I got this new trolling motor, what, I don't know, back a year ago now, I don't want
you don't to want scratch these it up, you know?
I always change my prop out. I've got a sharp prop for the river and the jetties, and then I got one that's already got a, you know, nicks and stuff that I've filed and cleaned up, you know, made it sharp again, but it still vibrates.
Yeah.
The motor still vibrates because, you know, when you file the prop to try to get the nicks and stuff out of it, you get it unbalanced, you know. And I've got two new, you know, I got a two blade and a three blade prop that's good and sharp, but I still won't use those in the creeks, even though my other one vibrates. But it's because, I mean, if you look, I've got this knot tied and a rope, and I must have, you know, I was going to take him over to Matt and just give him to him.
Of all the trolling motor blades
I got, and it's probably this tall of the props. And, you know, I mean, them things are, you know, what, $28, $30 a piece?
$44.
You know,
I'm just looking at one right now. The problem is you can't find them.
Yeah. And now I tell you what you can't find. Some lumber. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's stupid how much they're getting for it.
I'm fixing to replace the T111 on the house that's in front of my house, my dad's house, because it's where the rains come down. It's kind of made it, you know, rotten across there. It didn't have a rain gutter on it. And it's only got like an 18-inch eave, but still when the rain hits the ground, it splashed up there on it, you know. But the Home Depot, Lowe's, none of these places have 5/8 T111, 4-inch center. I had to go all the way out to Orange Park there at the 84 Lumber to get it, and it's $40 a sheet.
Well, half-inch plywood the other day, they wanted $78 for a sheet.
Mm.
$78. You're talking 2x4s for $8.
Man.
You know, it's like I need a couple 4x4s when I put up this garage in a box. Looks like tomorrow. With the weather coming in today, but
well, and I was just watching the time lapse up here, and it shows that rain's really not going to come in until about 7 tonight, and then more about 10, you know, and stuff like that. So, I mean, you probably have a good afternoon to do that.
Yeah, I want to put want to take a 4x4 and, you know, drill holes through it and put rebar in it, so when the back end of the thing, the tires will hit and stop. I know it sounds weird, but I do that all the time. In the garages and everything, but just so that I can do it. And then I guess I'm going to put pine straw down inside it, you know, as like a little moisture barrier so you're not, you know.
Well, actually, what I've got that stops mine in my boat shed is you get a Harbor Freight, you can get those big old rubber wheel chocks.
Yeah.
Wheel chocks. Mm-hmm. And you set it there and it don't move.
Yeah.
And well, when you back up easy, you just, you know, you sit in the rear of your mirror and just back up, and I've got them on both sides, and it's nice and wide, you know, a lot wider than your tire. So when you back up,
if I can get it centered where I won't miss it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the reason I put mine there is because my motor is, you know, whenever I got this new trailer, it's longer than my other trailer. And so my motor is 2 inches off the back wall.
Gotcha.
And so then that barely gets my door shut. And they're not shut like this. They're shut, still open on the tongue a little bit. But, so I put those in there so that I can stop without hitting the back wall.
Yeah. I have a half center block, a half of one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sticks up high enough where I can see it. And backing it in that shed, it's dark once you start closing up the front of it with the truck and the boat, and it's hard to see. So that center block, I can't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to run a light in this one so that
that's what I have. Yeah.
Just so that I have a light that lights it up, because it's just a soft-sided, you know, full garage, but it's all canvas. It's, you know, living in Palm Valley, it's dirty. I mean, you know, the ground, you know, it's mud. It's that black mud and sand, gravel, and the trees. We have tons of oak trees and palm trees and everything else. And it just, you know, even with a cover on your boat, it just gets trashed.
And those oak leaves plus those little old things that come off the oak
pollen
trees.
Pods or whatever.
They land on the boat after you wash it while it's wet. The next morning it's stained big time, you know. And it's like, you know, I hate those things. The tallow tree does the same thing.
Yeah.
The Chinese tallow tree. And
I've got
some people call them popcorn trees.
Popcorn trees.
Yeah. But because the little berries on
them,
when they pop open, they're white and it looks just like popcorn.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a pump sprayer full, I put bleach and Dawn and, I dilute it down a little bit with that. And then I make up the oxalic acid.
Mm-hmm.
And use the oxalic acid with the Dawn and some water in that. So when you spray off the brown stain, as I call it,
mm-hmm.
and all the other stuff, it works well. But, it's like a lot of times you're spraying it on, you get it all clean, and then you got to put the cover on. The leaves start falling, everything falling right on, and it's wet, like you said. It starts staining immediately.
Mm.
So.
I know.
I was thinking that little LED light you got in the back of your truck, mm-hmm. that'd be... Set that back there where you can see that, the back of that.
Yeah, I thought about putting one of those in too, but when you're clicking on, it lasts for 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So,
that ain't long enough to back it in.
No, but I mean, once you back it in and clean, start working on your boat.
Oh, yeah, then it's not going
to last. Because I want to be able to open my hatches.
What, is that a timer on it?
Yeah, it has a timer on it where you click it and it's 3, I've got it set now for 5 minutes.
Mm.
So you just turn it on and do whatever you got to do, and it goes off on its own.
Oh, good, yeah.
So, the ones in the back of my truck, I'll forget to turn them off.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it, that idea, is a timer on it.
I just like it so I can see. Now I'm trying to find an AC unit for the back of that truck for my dog. I mean, it's getting so hot, even with the windows open, those shelves back there, they get super, it's like an oven. So either I'm going to build one of those homemade swamp coolers. Have you seen the one where you cut the tubes in it and you have a fan that blows air down and another one that comes out on it with an elbow on it, and you put a bag of ice in there and turn the 12-volt fan on.
See?
I'll try. That's
pretty good.
You'll do for your dog. I love my dog. So.
It'll push out some cool air.
Yep, it will. It'll push out. Mm-hmm. You can get it down to about 55 degrees, they said, the air coming out now. How much of that's going to cool down your truck? But if I put it right on his crate,
but you can insulate that truck too.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then that would help a lot, especially
with the carpet
and cooler in there.
It's insulated now with that bed rug. And everything in it. It's just, it's a dark gray, and the sun in the summertime.
Yeah.
Well, I say summertime now because when I was coming back from Georgia the other day, it was 92 degrees,
mm-hmm.
and I had both windows open, and we're doing 65, 75, depending on where we're at. And I kept pulling over and pumping him full of water because I felt bad, So, but, you just want him. Next thing I'll have a generator on the back, a little plug-in AC.
Well, you could get your back window slide.
Uh-huh.
And then one on the camper. You've seen the insulator they put around?
Yeah.
That way you can just turn your two center vents into the back.
Yeah, that would work too. Except he'd drive me nuts. I'd be able to hear him.
Oh, yeah, you'd be able to hear him all right. If you could turn your regular AC on in your truck.
Cool, wear earplugs at the same time. So he just sounds like Chewbacca from Star Wars when he rides. He's crazy. He gets overexcited,
Yeah.
And when he gets out of the truck, he's fine.
Mm.
But if I open the back tailgate and open his crate door, he's nuts. He goes... Looks like Superman flying into it. So,
are you ready to go for a ride?
Oh, he loves going to Georgia.